You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey, the host of Locked On 76ers. Well, you know, I just want to welcome y'all to this podcast. Before I do that, I just want to, you know, let you guys know that I am the 76ers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly.com, and Philly Daily News. And I just want to, you know, thank y'all for listening to this podcast. You know, this and all the other podcasts on the Locked On Network, we come to you at least 5 times a week. Right now it's 3:39 a.m. and I am looking out the window in my Toronto hotel room, getting ready to shortly pack up. Not a lot of packing to do though, but get ready to pack up and head to the airport and just go home. But to open, I want to talk about the 76ers loss on Tuesday night to the Toronto Raptors. The loss was a 129-112 loss. And I want to talk to you about what's wrong with the 76ers. You know, and, you know, coming up in our second segment, you know, I just want to talk about some of the things, the areas where I believe, you know, the Sixers need to work on, areas they need to correct things at, what has to happen. And thirdly, you know, we're just going to talk about some of the games that they have coming up. You know, this upcoming stretch that the Sixers have. You know, they have, they're going to play the Clippers, they're going to play Detroit, a couple other games. And it's just going to be tough for them. But, you know, I just wanted to just let y'all know what this podcast is going to be about. But, you know, first, we need to talk about last night's game, all right? I mean, last night's game was ugly. Unfortunately for the 76ers, last night's game was typical. Last night's game has come to be something that we expect when we see this 76er squad. You see, the Sixers dropped to 4-4 after being blown out by the Toronto Raptors on the road. And when you look at it, the Sixers are 0-4 on the road against quality Eastern Conference teams. They're 4-0 at home against one competitive squad, and for the most part, three subpar teams. Last night, the 76ers had 23 turnovers. 11 of those turnovers came from Sixers point guard Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons finished, in addition to those 11 turnovers, he had 11 points. He had 10 assists. He had 8 rebounds. He didn't have a steal. He didn't have a block. Joel Embiid was his normal self. This guy actually had his best three-point shooting performance But he had 31 points. He had 11 rebounds. He had 2 turnovers, 1 block. He was 3-for-4 on threes. Robert Covington showed up. You know, Rob shot 4-for-10 from the field. But he was 4-for-8 on threes. He had 15 points, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. So he showed up. But the thing about the Sixers and the thing about this loss is that, and what I mean with typical, the Sixers team isn't as good as they were hyped up to be in the preseason. I mean, every time we talk to the players, they basically come out and admit it. I mean, they just don't come out and say, hey, guys, we're this and that. But what they say is, it's like, look, last year was last year. This is a new team. We have to improve. So they're coming out and telling us the squad isn't as good as they were. Now, they picked up Wilson Chandler. They picked up Mike Muscala in off-season trades, right? A lot of people put pressure on these guys saying, like, hey, this is what they're going to be. They're going to be better than they're going to be better than Ersan Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli. They're different types of players. And Wilson has yet to play. He has a hamstring strain. He's a couple days away, several days away. He just has to get his conditioning back. Mike Muscala is turning in to be a complimentary big off the bench. He had 12 points on 3-for-5 shooting, 1-for-3 on threes. He made all 5 of his foul shots. He had 5 rebounds. You know, the only thing that you will say he did bad was, woo, he was negative 17 and a plus minus. But again, he was when he was in there, they was just getting blown. I mean, he had 12 points in 16 minutes. But when you look at these two guys, they're not Marco and Ersan. They're different types of play. You know, Wilson is a quality defender. He can hit threes. Mike can hit threes. He's athletic. Does this. But Marco and Ersan, they were just phenomenal shooters. They were like phenomenal Euro shooters, European shooters, who could make stuff happen in a second unit. Now, what the team missed last year were Wilson and Mike. They missed guys like that if they kept Ersan and Marco. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is they needed guys on coming off the bench that could keep their players in front of them. They needed guys that could be able to do the gritty work, to do all these other things, do the unheralded work while their starters rested up. But at the same time, they needed to keep the shooters. They needed shooters to keep that, to complement it all. So in other words, what they did is they got rid of the shooters and they brought in these other two guys who can shoot, but they do other things. And so while we were told in the summer that, hey, don't worry, we got these two guys. They're going to help us out. Nah, not like the other guys. It's different. But see, in a way, the Sixers were banking on getting that superstar. And they missed out. And because they missed out, they lost the two shooters they had. Because, let's face it, the San Antonio Spurs, the Milwaukee Bucks, when the deadline came, they wouldn't let these guys get off the phone. They're like, hey, we're going to sign you. We're going to give you this money. And if you get off, you probably won't make that type of money. So what do they do? Within an hour of free agency starting on July 1, these two guys signed with different teams. It might have been like an hour and a half, but I'm telling you, it was close. Not signed, they committed. Sorry, you can't sign until like a couple of days later. But you get my drift. So when everyone says that the 76ers upgraded, now don't get me wrong, they made additions. But you still had to have these shooters. Because let's face it, the Sixers don't have it. They don't. I mean, you bring J.J. Redick off the bench, and in a way is beneficial because of Markel's struggles, folks shooting the ball. But losing Marco and Ersan was huge. All right, y'all, and here's a little word from our sponsor. I'll be back in a second. Coming up next, I want to talk to you guys on some of the things that I saw, you know, outside of turnovers and outside of not having Marco and Ersan Ilyasova that basically are leading the Sixers to losing these games. The main thing is, I have to say, is the defense. But, you know, before we do that, I want to talk about, look, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. I'm keeping it real, y'all. I mean, y'all should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Sixers is listened to by 98% men, and 80% of those men come between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kpompey, P-O-M-P-E-Y, at phillynews.com to find out. But look, so the thing that I want to talk about is the defense. The 76ers defense just flat out looks confused. Sixers look like they don't have any answers on most nights, and they don't. You know, some the defense that they have now is they want to switch everything, which is most teams do. They want guys guarding the perimeter. They want Joel Embiid protecting the rim. I mean, you've heard that. You know that. The problem is sometimes Joel comes up, is all about communication. And you know, he comes up and he may guard the paint. But they want him down low. But sometimes, you know, it's up to his discretion, I guess, to come out and defend the perimeter. But primarily, they want him to stay back. And on occasion, it's kind of like the communication just isn't there. Or even with the switches, sometimes you see, prime example, Markelle Fultz. There's been several games where I saw, you know, they'll do a switch, but he doesn't switch off his guy. So basically, you got two guys guarding one person, and the other guy is wide open, hitting wide open threes. Right? That can't happen. That's what leads to a lot of the 76ers' mistakes. It just can't happen. And the more I look at this team, the more I realize that the 76ers miss Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd Pierce is the guy who ran the defense since 2013-14 season up until last season. And, you know, Brett Brown got a lot of credit for the Sixers playing hard. So he should. But he got a lot of credit. He's the head coach. The head coach gets credit for the team playing hard. Well, this year, you know, the Sixers are better. But I can't really say that they play hard. I mean, they still do play hard. But when I think of the Sixers, I don't think of them playing hard. I think of them being better, like, athletically and better basketball players than most teams they play, like, when they get these victories. But as far as that grit, that diving on the floor, that other stuff, that when they used to walk in the gym, and they had no business keeping it close. They would do it. I don't see that anymore. I see a team that last night, let's be honest, they came back. Second unit came back. But to me, I look at it now as teams taking them lightly. Teams getting leads. Taking their foot off the gas as opposed to playing mega hard like they used to. Now, the Sixers played the Atlanta Hawks on Monday. That team reminded me of the Sixers under Lloyd Pierce. That team played hard. Sixers ended up blowing them out because they couldn't make shots. But they played hard. They played like the Sixers used to play. Now, again, I'm not taking any knocks against the Sixers now, but you know when your team shouldn't win games and the only thing you got is effort. And you got to bring that effort. And that's how the Hawks were. And when you look at their defense and you look how they defended Joel Embiid, who had his worst game of the season against the Hawks, you look at how they just basically abandoned Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. Now, mind you, a lot of teams are doing that, but they did it purposely. They just played hard. That's Lloyd Pierce. And the Sixers miss Lloyd Pierce. It's obvious. And this isn't a knock against the coaches that they hired or the coaches that they retained Billy Lane, who's running the defense. It's not a knock against him. But I will tell you that you can tell that Lloyd Pierce is missed. It's obvious. He's missed. He's missed. I mean, he demanded a lot from the guys on the defensive end. They were like a lunch pail type of team defense. Now they look confused. That's all I can say about them is they look confused. Coming up before the end of this show, as I'm going to do every day, I just want to talk about the upcoming matchup or things up on the horizon. But before I do that, here's a word from our sponsor. Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm back. This is Keith. Like I said, we're going to talk about the 76ers schedule. You know, right now, they got the Clippers coming to town. They have the Clippers coming to town on Thursday. They follow that up with the Detroit Pistons on Saturday. Then on Sunday, they go to Brooklyn to play the Nets. And then they have the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday, next Wednesday. And then the following Friday, the Charlotte Hornets come back to town. So when you look at this, it doesn't get any easier for the 76ers. You know, as we spoke before, they had an easy home schedule thus far. Well, it's about to get tougher. It's going to get very tough. You look at the Clippers. The Clippers are a team that's 4-3, right? Then we go back to Detroit. You know, Detroit is a team that the Pistons have a 4-2 record, right? And then from there, you know, you go to Brooklyn, which is probably going to be the only breather in during this stretch. The Brooklyn Nets 2-5, right? After that, it gets real again. To play Indiana 4-3. And I know some of you guys are saying, yeah, the Sixers are 4-4, Pompey. What you talking about? And then after that, they have the Charlotte Hornets, who are 4-4. So the 76ers going to have to play. Because, you know, if you think about it, they had two final possessions. Their last two games, the two games before they played the Atlanta Hawks against the Orlando Magic and the Charlotte Hornets. They were final possession games. It came down to the final possession of two teams they should have won, right? Two teams they should have defeated. Easily, you think, on paper. And it came down to the final possession at home. So you look at it and you say to yourself that these games are going to be tougher. This is going to be a tougher stretch for the Sixers. So with that, you know, I expect them to get challenged. I expect them to try to make some adjustments. I expect them to bust their tail, work hard in practice. Because if not, the whole narrative around the Sixers about all the hype that they're receiving, about the love that Brett Brown is getting, all that's going to change. I mean, heck, last night, people are already trying to change on Ben Simmons. You know, people telling me that he needs to shoot the ball more, that he didn't make any improvement. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. You know? So the 76ers don't get their act together soon. I'm telling you, all this hype about them being the top, one of the top three teams or going to the NBA Finals, no, it's going to change. People are going to talk about who to get rid of. And I'm not talking about the role player. I'm not talking about Robert Covington and Dario Saric or Markelle Fultz. They're going to talk about the stars. They're going to start saying they're not as good as we thought they were. You know, Brett Brown, whenever they lose, two games in a row, people already talk about they got to get rid of Brett. They're already saying that. That's going to continue. But all this hype and hoopla over this team being one of the elite teams in the East, if they struggled on this stretch, get embarrassed at least once or twice at home, it's all going to stop. Hey, I want to thank y'all for listening. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. But have a great morning and day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.